I really don't know if there's a more relatable gospel reading than in all of Scripture than what we have today in our first reading of Martha and Mary, for multiple reasons, both on the front of like the siblings and like coming, "Mom, tell her to help me, she won't do her part," and like the parents are just like, you know, ripping their hair out, like, "Come on, just do your job." But also for us individually, when we come to see really this gospel and the way most of the earliest Christian writers kind of, when they talk about this in their commentaries, they kind of set up kind of the interior life and the active life, the contemplative life and the apostolate, the going, the sending forth, and the mission side of things. And I think for all of us Christians, there's supposed to be an element of both. But what I have found to be far more common for most of us is I think most of humanity tends to fall on the active side. And in some ways, it's a lot easier. You know, mowing grass and cooking dinner and, you know, keeping the lights on, those type of things. In some ways, you can see the result at the end. You can have a sense of satisfaction when you look back and be like, "Oh, look, I did that. I fed the family. I took care of this stuff." But unfortunately, in the interior life, time spent in prayer, how do you measure it? How do you say, "Oh, yeah, that was good. Oh, yeah, I really got something out of this"? Most of the time, you don't or you can't. So we tend to just skip over the whole aspect of the interior life. And the world at large highly, highly, highly condemns, sees no value in an interior life, the religious life. You know, you look at particularly communism and fascism from the 20th century, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, all of them, one of their first steps, as soon as they rose to power, one of the first things they did was to start going after contemplative religious orders, monks and nuns, and they called them useless eaters. All they're doing is sitting around in a building thinking all day long. They're not helping us. They're not doing anything. They're not accomplishing anything. They're not moving society forward. And so they need to go. And so they did. And the 20th century, there was just an absolute decimation of religious life, particularly during World War II and afterwards, shortly after. But this idea of what is the value of going and sitting at the feet of Jesus? Now, it's always important to point out and to realize and to recognize Jesus did not condemn Martha. He didn't say, "Stop serving dinner. Don't worry about it. Hey, you come join me too." He never told her that, never asked her to stop. Obviously, people still need to eat dinner. I'm sure Jesus was very happy that Martha was, you know, getting things set up. But I think sometimes I ask the question, like, you know, the Gospel of Luke is 24 chapters long. You got 24 chapters to tell the single most important story of all of history, of all of humanity. You got 24 chapters. Why is it important to include this thing? You know, whatever it might happen to be. So for today, why is it important for Luke to include, for the Holy Spirit to inspire, Luke to give us this story? Is because it is so universally wrestled with, the active life versus the contemplative life. And the thing is, it's like, you know, we're not all meant to be Carthusians. We don't all have the luxury of being able to go spend 8 hours a day in a chapel reading or praying or contemplating. And praise God that there are those people who have that ability. And so many of the greatest saints in the history of our church have fallen into that category of contemplative religious because they've been able to, like, their soul has expanded in holiness. And they've been able to become these great big pillars of the church for the rest of us to benefit from how they have grown and received. But I guess the question then is like, okay, if we're not Carthusians, if we don't have that ability, how do we live an interior life then? What is that meant to look like in Wichita, Kansas of 2025. I think just even just understanding, or even just making the realization or the recognition that it is worth our time to spend, to waste time with God. This is neither here nor there, but I think one of the best titled albums of all time is the album Time Well Wasted by Brad Paisley. I love that album, Time Well Wasted. It's the idea of sometimes wasting time is the very best use of our time. The time spent in prayer, time spent in contemplation, time spent in adoration. St. Augustine, in his commentary, I was reading his commentary on this particular passage, and he was saying that he pointed something out that I thought was really interesting, that the works of mercy, feeding the poor, burying the dead, clothing the naked, all those kind of things, those are all good, all important, but none of them exist in heaven. We don't need to bury the dead in heaven. That no longer exists. But what we carry with us into heaven is the time that we've spent with him here on earth. And I forget what saint it was, another saint that talked about, like, on your deathbed, the thing that will bring you the most comfort, the most consolation, is the time that you've spent and wasted with the Lord. More than anything else, that will be your greatest consolation. So, not all time spent in prayer is created equal, right? We all know that, probably experienced that. And you know, if you were to be inside of a Martha's mind, when Martha goes to pray, when Martha does go to sit at the feet of Christ, what does her prayer look like? You don't have to be Sigmund Freud to figure out, what does Martha's prayer look like? Lord, I have this project coming up, and you know, I've got so many things. I want to make sure that we get that taken care of. Lord, please help me with this. Oh yeah, dinner. Oh, did I turn the oven on before? Okay, Lord, help make sure my family's taken care of, and my husband, he's stressed out. Things are hard at work. Please, you know, grant him some peace. And what does it turn into? It's another step in the wheel of busyness. You see what I'm saying? It's time spent in prayer. And I'm not knocking that, and I'm not saying don't do that at all. But when you hear me say time spent in silence and prayer, don't assume that's what I'm talking about, because that is just one more step in the wheel of busyness. I am talking about the cor ad cor, locutor, is the old saying. Heart speaks to heart. I am talking about allowing the Lord to see your heart. And the only image I have for this, and this is what's come to me over and over and over again, is especially in my hardest, most like difficult moments of my life, when I go to the chapel, essentially what I do is it's essentially heart surgery, where you cut the chest open down the sternum. You crack the ribs, open up the chest, you rip out your heart and show it to the Lord. Lord, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. I want you to see where I am right now. I want you to know my struggles. And he speaks directly to your heart. It's not the busyness of like, oh, let's see if I can get four rosaries in this holy hour. And I'm not at all opposed to the rosary. I love the rosary. And I'm not opposed to reading scripture. And I'm not opposed to reading, you know, good spiritual works. But make no mistake, we can get stuck in the same route of busyness in our prayer and not actually speak to the Lord. I could write a book on that. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But what I'm talking about is sitting at the feet of Christ and receiving from him heart to heart. Brothers and sisters, that's not just like a nice cherry on top that, you know, maybe one of these days, I'll Saturday morning, I don't have anything going on, so I'll spend a little time and maybe do a little prayer. This isn't like the nice thing that, you know, it's kind of a good thing if you can get around to it. This is essential. It is crucial. And if anything less than an understanding that this is our most important bedrock, foundational aspect of our lives, and everything else must be arranged around that. Anything short of that, if it's just like, yeah, I'll try to do that sometimes, forget it. It's just not going to happen. It just will not happen. We're too busy. We'll pack our schedule with too many other things. And so my plea, my invitation, my challenge, my exhortation to you today is to begin to see the importance, how crucial the interior life really is, to actually give the Lord permission to speak to your heart, to see your heart. What's really ironic, and this is getting really personal because this is exactly where the Lord has been doing heart surgery on me. Exactly what the Lord has been challenging me to is, it's the easiest thing in the world to be so busy with the work of the Lord that you forget about the Lord of the work. And so I've been busy, doing things. And it's all good things. It's all important stuff. But what the Lord showed me, he said, Curtis, you working at your best, at your highest capacity, doing everything to the best of your ability, apart from me, is like a glove trying to do the work without the hand. And it's true. Like, we can give our 100%, we can go 110% and stay up nights and weekends and all this stuff to try to do stuff. And the person who actually gives the Lord permission to be in their lives will accomplish 10,000 times more. Not just now, but in eternity. We don't see that. We don't believe that. And that's why we do and do and do. But the hand with the glove in it, the glove providing the power, will always accomplish more. And so today, brothers and sisters, I just invite you to contemplate, to maybe make a commitment to sitting at the foot of Christ. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Whatever you can commit to of just being with him. Make that a bedrock, a foundational part of your lives. And I promise you will see things move and shift. Things that have been stuck, the rut that you've been spinning your wheels and getting frustrated, all of a sudden you will start seeing movement. Because at that point, it's not about us, it's about him.